Brothers and sisters, this past week in the territory of the Archdiocese of Boston, we had a manifestation of the spiritual war that's raging all around us. And before I talk to you about it, I want to read to you from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 10 and following. These words of St. Paul basically sum up what this spiritual war is all about. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we are not contending against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having fastened the belt of truth around your waist, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the equipment of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you can quench all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that utterance may be given me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. St. Paul in this letter is telling us that the great battle of life is not against flesh and blood. It's not against people. It's against the devil, who's real. Pope Francis, ever since he became Pope, has been speaking frequently about the existence and activity of the devil. And he's warning us that we do have an enemy that wars with great wrath and fury against God's children, trying to separate us from God and from his love, now and for all eternity. St. Paul tells us that we have to fight this battle, that we have to be aware that this battle is raging all around us, and that we have to live in Christ in order to be victorious. In the Gospels, we learn that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. When he was tempted in the desert, he defeated all the devil's temptations. You know, it's amazing, the devil, in his arrogance, attacked Jesus in the desert. We heard about this at the beginning of Lent. And the devil loses. He loses twofold. In the first way, Jesus doesn't give in to the temptations, but in the second way, Jesus leaves a wonderful example of how we can overcome the temptations of the evil spirit. We are at war, and our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against people. It's against the fallen angels, the principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness, the spirit of darkness and evil, the father of lies. And we have to know this. This war is real. It's raging all around us right now, and it's a war for souls. We have to belong to the one who is victorious over the devil, and that's Jesus himself. Our belonging to Jesus begins at baptism. Now, this past week in the territory of the Archdiocese of Boston, in Cambridge, something very almost surreal took place. There was, you may have heard, a group of people from Harvard University who wanted to offer what was called a satanic black mass, where they take the Eucharist from a Catholic church, they desecrate it, they invoke the evil spirits and the demons, and they mock the Catholic religion and really treat the Eucharist terribly, even more than they already have. And this was going to be offered by a group from Harvard University, and it was going to be allowed in the name of academic freedom. And I couldn't believe that, because how could you justify that in the name of academic freedom? First, they steal something from the Catholic Church, and then they mock the Catholic religion. How can we say that that's okay? It's not. That's not academic freedom. It's just terrible, absolutely terrible. And it was going to be allowed, the satanic black mass, which was going to invoke the evil spirits. And it was going to be done publicly. Well, some young Catholics from Harvard University who were faithful to Christ didn't like this. And they started to organize a petition drive against this. And they decided to have a holy hour of reparation. What they wanted to do was to take the Eucharist, which was being desecrated and hated by these people involved in the Black Mass, and these Catholics wanted to take it and put it on the altar in the church and honor Jesus. They perceived the evil done against Jesus by a certain group, and they responded in the opposite way, loving Jesus. So they decided to organize a little holy hour in the church and gather people to worship and adore Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. He's really present there in the Eucharist, and we should adore him in reparation for what was happening against him in the Black Mass. And another group from MIT University in Cambridge wanted to have a Eucharistic procession where we take the Eucharist and carry it in what's called a monstrance. We carry it through the streets, and it's a way to honor Jesus and to publicly manifest our love for Jesus. And it often draws other people to love Jesus and to put their faith in him. And I did a procession once years ago in one of my churches, and it's a powerful expression and experience of following Jesus and loving him. It kind of reminds me of when Jesus came into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. The people are praising him as the Lord is brought into Jerusalem. And that's what a Eucharistic procession does. It leads people to praise and worship the Lord Jesus and to realize that he really does come into our present life situation. Well, so we had the Holy Hour at St. Paul's in Cambridge and Harvard Square, and the Eucharistic procession from MIT. Well, at some point they coordinated their efforts to honor Jesus, and they decided to have a Eucharistic procession from MIT all the way through the streets of Cambridge to St. Paul's and Harvard Square. And they organized this kind of last minute. It was their way of responding to the sacrilege and the terrible, terrible action against the Eucharist on the part of those involved in the Black Mass. And it was also time to pray for their conversion, because that's what they need. Well, kind of at the last minute, I decided to go. I wasn't going to go, but someone convinced me to go, and I had to go, so I did. And I was expecting, since this whole thing was kind of organized, this Holy Hour and Eucharistic procession, kind of organized last minute, I was expecting maybe about 50 people there. And I thought that would have been a large crowd of people, 50 people. Well, I arrived at MIT, and I was brought to where they had this little chapel, and the Eucharist was there, and there were hundreds of people there. There were hundreds of people there simply to honor Jesus. And I was amazed. I was thinking, wow, something's happening here. And it's very clear to me what it is. People do love Jesus, and the church is alive. There may have been 500 or more people there. I don't know. It was hard to tell. And we began the procession, and some of my priest friends were there, and there were tons of lay people. There were religious and habits and friars and all kinds of religious people and laity, lots of young people, which was a powerful witness of the youthfulness of the church today. And we began the procession. You had the Eucharist up near the front with a canopy over the top and incense and the candles and the bells, and the priests were following behind the Eucharist, behind Jesus, and then all the other people were following behind us. And there must have been at least 500 or more people in the procession. I couldn't tell because I was up near the front close to Jesus. And it was an absolutely amazing experience. Going through the streets of Cambridge, which is not too far from where my parish is, and to see Jesus going through the streets of Cambridge. The police were there, and they had stopped the traffic for us. Every time we came to a new intersection, the police would be there with the lights on, holding up all the traffic, and we would just go through. We were singing songs and of praise and worshiping Jesus, and it was really an uplifting experience. You would go by restaurants and shops and other places, and you would see people look out the windows in amazement at what was happening. I remember we passed by an exercise gym, and people were up like on the third floor running on a treadmill. And when we passed by that area, all of the people got off their treadmills, and some of them took out their iPhones and started taking photos, and they were just amazed. And there were other people on the street who would walk by our procession, and they would make the sign of the cross, so people would genuflect. People who had nothing to do with this Eucharistic procession would realize, wow, there's Jesus, and I love him, and I adore him, and I worship him. One time we passed by the stairs coming out of a subway. People who had gone on the subway, which is underground, they come upstairs. And Can you imagine being on a subway and you're on your busy schedule and you get off the subway and you're running upstairs and all of a sudden, wow, there's Jesus, the Son of God, being carried in the Eucharist and hundreds of people singing hymns of praise and worship to him. And these people would stop and they were amazed. Well, what's truly amazing is the real presence of Jesus. And along the way, there was a man I saw up on a hill and he was screaming at us. And he was shouting obscenities and swear words against the Eucharist and against the Catholic Church. And I thought to myself, that's expected, because the devil is very frustrated right now as we process through the streets of Cambridge, because he wanted to bring forth the desecration of the Eucharist and hatred for the Eucharist, and we've got this procession going on. And so some man had to scream and shout at us, and he did. The procession was, oh, probably about an hour long. When we started, the sun was out. When we finished, the sun had already set. We arrived at St. Paul's Church in Harvard Square, which is a big church. It's a beautiful church. And as we got to the front of the church, I thought to myself, we're not going to be able to get in the church, because it was jam-packed with people. It was absolutely packed, and I couldn't believe it. I thought there were going to be 50 people in the procession and at the holy hour, and it turns out there were over 2,000 people there for the procession and the holy hour. And as I walked in the church, I almost cried, because I was so uplifted in my own faith in the real presence of Jesus. There was a crowd of people there of all ages. The multitude was all ages, mostly young people, though. They were handicapped people there who had made the journey to this church to honor Jesus. And it was absolutely fantastic. You could perceive the power of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, touching everybody's life. And we had gone through quite a good deal of hardship to get there. You know, if you have been to Cambridge, it's pretty much impossible to park anywhere. And yet 2,000 or more people showed up in this one church to honor Jesus in the Eucharist. I absolutely loved this gifted time, this grace time of communion with Christ and his people. When I was in the sanctuary and I was kneeling down looking at Jesus in the Eucharist, I could also see all of the people in the church. And it was a very joyful time, a time of spiritual joy. I felt a oneness with all the people. There was a sense of grace friendship among all of us, that our family, the church, had come together. And as I was there, I remembered that many, many years ago in cathedrals in Europe, in the medieval churches, at the back of the churches, they usually would have a stained glass window. And it was an image of a ferocious dog biting his own tail. And it symbolized the devil. And it taught that the devil is real and ferocious, but in the end he only defeats himself. The dog biting his own tail. I thought about that. Because the devil wanted the Black Mass. The devil wanted to lead people to hate the Eucharist. There are people who hate the Eucharist. And he wanted to bring that forth more so in people's lives. And look what happened. Over 2,000 people kneeling down, adoring Jesus, truly present in the Eucharist. And I rejoiced. It was a time of real, real joy. And I perceived that in that place, in that church, and in the streets of Cambridge, there was a real victory that Jesus had won over the devil. The devil wanted to destroy the Eucharist, and the Eucharist was honored more and more than it ever has been in quite a while in these parts. It's wonderful to perceive this amazing grace. God is all-powerful, the devil's not, and God brought forth good out of evil. Now, this doesn't justify the evil, but we have to realize that Jesus is victorious, and we moved into that victory. There are people who hate the Eucharist. Those people there at the Black Mass, maybe they don't know it, but their actions are actions of hatred toward the Eucharist and towards Jesus. Our response is to love him more. We don't have to hate them. We have to love Jesus more. We have to absolutely love him so much and honor his real presence in the Eucharist. When this procession took place, it was around the time of May 13th, and it reminded me of Fatima, when the angel appeared to the little children in Fatima. He taught them a prayer. My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you. I ask pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love you. That's what we were doing. We were living that in that church at that moment. We were believing in Jesus, adoring him, hoping in him and loving him, and praying for the forgiveness and conversion of those who don't. That's what they need, and we have to keep those prayers up. But there's more we can learn from this. This experience that occurred here in the Archdiocese of Boston. Now, for some reason, and many other people agree with this, it seems that this territory is one of the hot spots of the devil's anger. It seems that he wants to wipe out the faith in this area and in this country. But we witnessed the very real victory of Jesus and his friends over evil. And so what we have to learn is to live in the victory. One of my priest friends who was at the Holy Hour and the procession, Father Matt Williams, who leads our Office of New Evangelization for young adults, said that there would be some kind of backlash, that the devil is frustrated. You better believe the devil is immensely frustrated at what happened. People were brought to Jesus, and that's what he hates. Will there be a backlash? Of course. Although I don't think we have to worry too much about how that backlash will come about. We just have to commit ourselves more and more intensely to live in the victory of Jesus, so that whatever the backlash is, we're safe. Here are some ways that we can live in this victory. First of all, for priests. Priests are on the front lines. We really are, because without us, there is no Eucharist. Now, in a way, we're all on the front line, because we all want to be the saints of our time. That's what God calls us to be. But the devil has a real hatred for priests, so priests have to enter intensely into the Eucharistic victory of Jesus. We celebrate Mass every day. We should celebrate Mass with great reverence. We should follow the rubrics of the liturgy so that Christ will shine forth, not our own personality. We should make sure that the liturgical vessels that we use for the Eucharist are dignified and they are clean and appropriate. I remember St. John Vianney, who knew about the activity of the devil. St. John Vianney knew about the victory of Jesus in the Eucharist, and he rejoiced and lived in that. And he was a very poor priest, and he spent hardly no money for himself, but he spent lots of money on Eucharistic vessels to make sure that Jesus was honored fittingly in the public worship of the Church, in the Mass and Adoration. Priests should make a holy hour every single day. You should, if you're a priest, you heard it from me, you should spend an hour every day in the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. Now, some priests, it can happen when you're busy in a parish or another apostolate, you can suffer from what I call liturgical fatigue. You can have Mass after Mass after Mass, and you can get to the point where you're just kind of like burned out with liturgy. You've got to have your holy hour. That's the antidote to that. You have to enter deeply into the victory of Jesus. You have to live in him, and there he is in the Eucharist waiting for your adoration and your reparation. If you work in a parish as a staff member or in any other capacity in a religious congregation or something, go to Mass every single day. You have no excuse not to go to daily Mass. You're there at the parish where Mass is offered every day. Go to Mass every day. Don't let anyone tell you that you're not allowed to go to Mass because then you're not spending enough time doing your work. That's what Pharaoh said to the Israelites. He said they were going to worship God in the wilderness because they just wanted to get out of doing work. So we don't listen to Pharaoh. We enter into Jesus. We've got to go to Mass every single day and be filled with that victory of Jesus. For people who are on a parish council, you have to be the leaders among the lay people of Catholic identity and Eucharistic life. You have to live a Eucharistic life. Make sure that you are centered on the Eucharist, on Jesus himself. He's there. And if you're on the parish council, you have to set the tone for the rest of the parish. So spare no effort in trying to adore and love Jesus as often as you can. Go to Mass. If you can go daily, go to Adoration. And for all of us, live in a state of grace. Avoid sin. Go to confession regularly. Do you know what the greatest way every one of us who's baptized can defeat or really overthrow the dominion of the devil in this world, in our lives and in the lives of others, is to live a holy life? Some people think you have to be an exorcist in order to beat the evil spirit. No, you've got to live in a state of grace. Be a saint of our time. Don't live in sin for a moment. And Eucharistic adoration should go on in every single parish. I would say every day, but maybe you can't coordinate that. But lay people, you have to ask for it, and you have to be willing to help support it. Sometimes people ask for adoration, but then they don't show up. We can't have adoration without anyone in the church. So work to bring that about in your parish. Jesus is victorious over evil. I saw that. At that procession and at that holy hour, I saw his victory. I saw that it was living. And after the holy hour, we all went outside and we were mingling in Harvard Square. And I felt like we were all soldiers. And we just got back from an epic battle against the forces of evil. And you know something? We did. We just won an epic battle against the spirit of evil. And we were rejoicing. We felt as if we were just one big family. You know what? When I saw the people, I said, this is the real church. This is the church right here. And it's a church of joy, of spiritual joy and friendship, grace friendship and communion with the Most Holy Trinity, Abba Father, Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit, our sanctifier and our evangelizer. That's what the church is, our communion with the Trinity. And I could witness it so profoundly. And that really inspired me. You know, this week I have my 10th anniversary of priestly ordination, and this event is in my heart now. It's in my heart, and it will live with me, hopefully for the next 10 years. And I'm so grateful for God's power and his love. And you know, it's the month of May, Our Lady of the Rosary. And really, she helped to show us the victory in her son Jesus. Because Mary is our mother. She's the mother of the church, the Queen of Heaven. And she knows about the victory of Jesus over the evil spirit. And she was our mother, clearly, and our queen in that night. In the statue that you see of Our Lady in various churches, she has her foot on the serpent, and she crushes the serpent. So we want to imitate her. What is it about Our Lady that we imitate? Her communion and love of the Most Holy Trinity. In the Eucharist, we have the Trinity, because we have Jesus, and he's consubstantial with the Father, and he's consubstantial with the Holy Spirit. So Our Lady teaches us to love the Eucharist. Dear brothers and sisters, here in the territory of the Archdiocese of Boston, a battle in the spiritual war has been won. An epic and awesome battle has been won. And we were part of that victory from here. But really, it's a battle for the whole church. You see, these black masses, they go on all the time. The strange thing about the one offered by that group from Harvard University is that they announced it. These things are exclusive and they're not public. They go on all the time, and if people could see the evil that comes forth from these things, they'd run for cover in the churches. But I saw the victory. I saw the victory. Jesus is victorious, and in him we are victorious as well. So I encourage you to live in the victory of Jesus. Who cares? Who cares how the devil will make his backlash against us? I don't care. Neither should you. All we should care about is living in the victory of Jesus, because then we're safe. And then and only then are we safe and victorious and joyful and happy and at peace in the sight of God and all his friends. Jesus Christ is truly present in the Eucharist. And he's there because he loves us. He's there filled with his mercy and his peace and his light and his truth. And so, brothers and sisters, let us love him in return.